From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Hunger is becoming more and more common in Southwest Florida, and while donations to food pantries have stayed steady, the need continues to grow. That's creating a recipe for dwindling food supplies at local food pantries. Ahead, voices from those in Southwest Florida who need help getting enough to eat. And we'll talk with organizations in Collier, Lee, and Charlotte counties working to help Southwest Florida's hungry. Plus, November is National Adoption Month, and the Children's Network of Southwest Florida was able to place more than 30 kids into new adoptive homes in just the past 4 weeks. Still, there are hundreds of kids waiting for a forever home. We'll talk with people who are opening their homes to these kids and with the Children's Network of Southwest Florida about the process behind getting them places where they need to be. First, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. November is National Adoption Month, and while the idea of adoption might make most people think of little swaddled infants, there are hundreds of older kids in need of homes right here in Florida. Many of them are in their teens, which is one of the hardest groups to find forever homes for. In our area, the Children's Network of Southwest Florida is the agency the state works with to try and place kids from foster care or other circumstances into forever homes. Well, Melissa Bonner is here with us to talk about that and tell us more about the kids she's working to place and what that process involves. We're also talking today with Amy Catherine, a woman who is in that process. She's working towards adopting a child, and Kathy Cahill, who has adopted two children, one of whom is with us here today to tell us about her life story. Kayla Cahill, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
And today, you can also join the conversation by calling 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. You can Facebook us or catch us on Twitter at WGCU, hashtag GCL. Melissa, I want to start with you. This month is pretty important for people in your line of work because you're trying to draw attention to a profound need. You've invited the public and the media to mass adoptions this month in order to make people more aware of them. That's where a number of families get together in one hearing room and they finalize their adoptions. How has that worked for you?
It works really good. It brings a lot of public awareness regarding the need for families for our children who are waiting for adoption. So this year we had 4 mass finalizations in 4 different counties that we cover through Circuit 20, and all events were very successful.
Now, Circuit 20 is what?
Circuit 20 is Collier County, Charlotte County, Lee County, and Hendry and Glades counties.
Okay, so that's the area that you encompass?
Yes, we cover the 5-county area.
Okay, so the finalization of an adoption is the one day. And that's a culmination of a lot of work. So what goes into it beforehand?
So prior to the legal proceeding, the families do have to have an adoption home study. That process in itself can take several months. They then have to be matched with a child. And then once the child is placed in the home, the child does have to reside there for a minimum of 90 days before the finalization can occur. So the finalization is just the actual legal proceeding, but we do have to go through all of those steps first.
So you're talking about you go check out the house, make sure everything's okay.
Yes.
Then you have to match a child with that family. How is that kind of a personality thing or?
There's actually a couple different ways. We do have a lot of children who are adopted by the caregivers that were caring for them before they became available for adoption.
In foster care?
Yes, the foster parents, relative caregivers, and non-relative caregivers as well. So in those situations, the child and family have already established a relationship. The child's already living in the home. So once the child is legally available for adoption, then we would complete an adoption home study, but there's really no matching process.
Okay.
We do have some children who, when they become available for adoption, they do not have an identified family. So for those children, we do have to do recruitment activities and actually match them with families.
Okay, so this month, because of National Adoption Month, you invited people into these hearings. Did people come? Did the public come? The media? How did they actually witness these?
Yeah, we did have media coverage in Lee County. And when we do the mass, normally an adoption hearing is a closed hearing. So it's just the family and then their extended family who they invite. With these ones, we do all of the families together in one hearing. So you have the adoptive applicants, you have all of their extended family, you have caseworkers from the agency that did the adoption. Mm-hmm. We have attorneys who attend. As I mentioned, the media was present. So I know in Lee County, we had 19 children finalized, and there was probably over 100 people present in the courtroom.
So it's more than 100 people seeing what you were doing.
Yes.
Did you have any emotional reactions, or did people come up and say, wow, this has just really moved me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even myself, having, you know, worked with the Children's Network in the adoptions program for over 10 years, it's emotional. You can see the families are emotional. The kids are emotional. There's a lot of tears, happy tears, but tears. So when you're sitting in the courtroom experiencing it, is a very emotional.
I can imagine. So what kind of kids are we talking about that are in this adoption? I know you can't paint everybody with a broad brush, whether they're adopted or not or up for adoption or not, because teenagers are all so very different. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the teenage group, you know, older kids. What kind of kids are we dealing with? I mean, who are these guys?
So we work with children of all various ages. Most of the kids who are waiting for adoption, who don't have identified families, they are teenage youth. Well, generally 8 and older, but we do have a majority of them that are in their teens. And, you know, a lot of people, when they initially explore adoption, they do want the younger children, the infant children. But, you know, the teens, they need families. They want to be with forever families. So, you know, we are recruiting for those types of the children because they are the ones that are waiting without identified families.
Well, I can't imagine that that's really easy on a teenager to be in that situation, waiting for someone to just adopt them and give them a place to call their own home. So I'm imagining there's a psychological toll that this whole thing takes on these teenagers. And they're probably, you know, a little different from your average everyday teenager because they've gone through so much even before they got into the system where they're in need of a home.
So, yeah, I mean, the children have all experienced some type of abuse, neglect, abandonment. That's the reason why they came into care. But a lot of them are just your typical teenagers. They are a little bit more resistant to adoption because they're teens. They feel a lot of times that, you know, they already have a family or they don't need to be adopted. So, you know, you just have to work with them during the process.
Well, the notorious teenage independence streak.
Yes, exactly.
No offense to the teenagers in the room.
But exactly.
I know I was like that. I thought I knew it all. But, okay, so, but I mean, do you have additional ongoing counseling that is available after, during, throughout the adoption process for the kids and also the parents?
Yes, we do. We have counseling that the children can receive while they're in care, while they're going through the adoption process. After the adoption is finalized, we do provide post-adoption services. And the children also continue to have Medicaid so they can receive ongoing counseling after the adoption is finalized. There's also an adoptions case manager who's available to assist the family in identifying any additional services that the family or child might need.
So there's a lot of support there. I mean, it's a big adjustment.
Yes, there's definitely support for the families.
All right. Well, we're talking about adoption as November is National Adoption Month, and specifically looking at the need here in Southwest Florida for adoptive homes for teenagers. You can join the conversation by calling 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 1-877-428-8255. Or you can catch us on Twitter at WGCU, hashtag GCL. So, Kathy Cahill, I wanted to talk with you. You have adopted 2 children.
Yes, ma'am.
Correct. When you went into this process, I mean, I'm sure it was arduous, you know, to get to the point of the finalization of the adoption. How did you feel on that day when you were in the hearing room?
Ecstatic.
Ecstatic?
It was a really emotional day when we adopted Kayla. It was part of the National Adoption Day of that year. The room was just charged with so much excitement, all the children that were there. And something that was very cool about adopting a 12-year-old is that she got to stand up in court and accept us, too. It wasn't a one-way street. It was a two-way street. And then we got to sit there and hold hands and accept each other. And it was just it was a day we'll never forget.
That had to feel good, that kind of affirmation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, Kayla, what did you think of that day?
It was a great day. It was very exciting to know that I had a forever home, that I wasn't going to move anywhere else, and that this was a family that I could call mine, that was my real parents.
And you're 18 now, right?
I am.
So this was six years ago?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Can you remember it pretty clearly?
Yeah, I remember the day we were out there, and of course they had the stuffed animals, and they were taking our picture, and the news was there, and it was just felt like a big day. It felt like I was a celebrity there. And I remember going in there and sitting there and waiting for my name to be called. And when the judge there, he said, Kayla and Kathy and Michael, could you guys please come up here? And I remember just standing up there, and then we got to say how we felt about each other and welcome each other into the family. It was a great day.
Yeah, that's really great. How long had you been searching for an adoptive family? Had you been in foster care? What was
I had been in foster care for 2 years. I didn't really know much about adoption. I was kind of kept in the dark for that part, because mainly because I didn't want to know about it. If I had a family that wanted me, then that'd be great. So when I first met them, I really didn't know that they were looking to adopt. I just thought I was just there to, you know, stay there for a week. But
were you reluctant to get your hopes up?
Yeah, I didn't want to get my hopes up. You don't want to get your hopes up for anything really when you're in the system, because, you know, things can fall through. You know, there might be something there that you're like, yeah, I totally have it in my hands, and then, you know, it's just not. So once you're at that time where you just realize that something can be taken away, like, at any minute, you just want to kind of wait for it to happen instead of trying to get really excited about it. You just kind of wait for it.
Almost kind of cynically looking at it like, well, that would be great and everything, but only when it actually happens.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to get your hopes up.
Did you see other people get their hopes up and then have them knocked down, or did you have friends that...
There was a couple girls that had it. One of them actually did get adopted, and she moved all the way to New York City. That was in the foster home that I was in. And another one, she had it many times where she was going to get adopted, but it just didn't happen. So I kind of was just like, well, forever families might not be forever. But mm-hmm. when I got mine, I realized that, you know, they are forever. You just have to work for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how was your – did you live before with Kathy? Or
I did.
Okay.
I lived a couple years with them, actually. I was 10 when I moved in with them. And it was 10 days before my birthday. So I remember it because it was very close. It was 2 years that I lived with them. And it was great. There was bumps in the roads. There was bumps, but it definitely was great.
Well, it's an adjustment, yeah.
It is an adjustment, because you realize that, you know, you're not going anywhere.
You can't escape this one.
No, you can't.
This person's going to love you forever. No,
exactly.
That's what you got.
So you can't say, well, I messed up, it's okay. Nope. Nope, there's consequences, and you gotta push through it together. So.
And you have a sibling that's also adopted.
I do. I have a sister.
Now, is that your biological sister?
No.
Or no, adoptive sister.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right. That's also a great thing to have. So, I mean, and she's younger than you?
She is. She's 9.
Okay. Now, did you both get adopted on the same day?
No, she came later on.
Later. She came along later. Did you surprise yourself deciding to add another daughter?
When Kayla moved in, even the first day, we told her that she'd be the oldest. That was the promise we gave her, but that she would never be alone. And we've held up to that promise.
Mm-hmm.
And so when after we adopted her, it was only like 7 months later that we adopted our second child. And she was 3 at the time, so it was a surprise. We went into this process as foster parents, really not even expecting to adopt. And when Kayla came available, we had received several phone calls from placement agencies that they were just telling us how great this child was and that she'd be great for our family. And we said, well, that's great, but we're not interested in adoption right now. And so whenever we called for a placement for a foster child, they said, well, we have this girl named Kayla, and I think you guys should meet. And man, they were right. They knew exactly what they were doing. And when we met, it was love at first sight, I guess you could say.
Well, how do you feel hearing that?
Yeah. I mean, it's great to know that they felt the same way I did.
Yeah, it's kind of like the art of the pairing, like we were talking about, and getting that personality match, right?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing, because you don't want to introduce a child to a family and then it be another loss. You really want to make sure it could be a really good match, you know, before you even do that introduction.
Well, you don't want to add to a list of disappointments in
exactly.
life.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, Amy Catherine, I wanted to talk with you. So you have decided that you are going to make a huge difference in a young person's life and become an adoptive mother yourself, right? How did you get to this decision?
I've always wanted to adopt. I've known since I was 22 that I was going to be adopting, and I'm 46 now, and I'm not getting any younger. So I decided to just go ahead with the process. Life kept getting in the way, and I just trudged through. And I went through the classes and the home studies, and about a year after the classes, I was starting to feel like I wasn't going to find my match, and I got an email saying that there's this lovely girl, Iris, who is 11, and she is up for adoption, and would I like to meet her? And I said, yes. She just turned 12. And
Iris is a beautiful name.
Thank you.
My aunt always told me that Iris means you're special. I don't know if that's true, but I imagine it is in this case, right?
It is. It's very true.
So you are in the process.
Still in the process.
Do you have a forecast for when the actual adoption is going to happen?
It'll happen in February.
Oh, okay. So I imagine you have a celebration planned?
I do. We're going to have a big party.
Oh, okay. Great. Do you have any questions for Kathy or Kayla about that kind of a transition?
It's just, I know it's going to be a hard transition, and as she becomes more of a teenager, was there any complications with that?
Whenever they become teenagers, no matter if they're yours or biologically or yours through adoption, there are always going to be some fun bumps along the way. What I would say is just continue to have an open relationship. Be honest. One thing I always promise Kayla is that we would be able to talk about any topic at any time and be completely honest about it. And that seems to have really worked throughout the years. And when we do run into some bumps and there's questions, trying to figure out what to say is sometimes hard. And sometimes I also ask her to give me a minute to think about what I need to say before I answer, because there's different levels of information that needs to be shared and some information that doesn't. Right. So.
Right. Well, we have a phone call on the line, and we'll see what they'd like to say. We have Rohan from Port Charlotte. This is a foster parent with an adopted little boy who would like to share their story. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Rohan. You have a story for us about an adopted little boy?
Yes, we adopted our little boy about a year last Saturday, will make a year. We've become foster parents for about 6 years, and it's the greatest thing that my wife and I have ever done. All of our kids are grown and left the house, so, you know, we says, well, you know, all their empty rooms are like closet. My wife's stocking them with clothes and shoes, so we said, why not put some kids in, so we become foster parents. And this little boy came to us at 3 years old, and he's 7 years old now, and we have 8 kids in the family, grandkids, and they're all girls. He's the only boy in the family, so he runs things right now.
Oh, how fun is that? So you were kind of an empty nester that you decided to refill your nest?
Yes, yes, plus you get the care on my name.
Well, that's a really great story, and I'm glad to hear that. Now, you had a 3-year-old little boy, so thank you for sharing.
No, he's 7 now. He came to us when he was 3. Now
yeah, you had a 3, now. And now he's 7 years old. So
you foster care him for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I like to say to people. If you are interested in becoming foster parents, it's the greatest thing. You become foster parents, and then that will lead up to, if you want to think about adoption, you should become a foster parent first, and then you can move from there. But foster parents, to me, is the best way to go about it, to become foster parents first. And want to see if that's something that you really want to do.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you calling in and sharing your comments and your story. Now, he was talking, he suggested that people maybe foster first before they become an adoptive parent. Is that something that you suggest?
Yeah, I mean, a majority of our adoptions, they are by relatives or foster parents who are caring for the children. So we definitely advocate for families to foster first. They can get experience with caring for kids in the foster care system, accessing services, working with the agency. So, yeah, I mean, we definitely encourage that.
Yeah, and Amy, Catherine, have you fostered already or?
I did not foster. I chose the adoption route.
Okay. But this was a match that you're already working through it. So is she staying with you?
She moved in Halloween weekend.
Oh, how great was that? Did you go trick-or-treating?
Yes, we did.
Oh, that had to
be. She dressed as Cleopatra.
Oh, how beautiful. That sounds great. Okay. Well, I really appreciate you all coming in and sharing with me all of your stories. We have time for a couple more comments. Could you tell me a little bit about those teenage years. Do you have any advice for Amy as she is raising a teenager who has kind of gone through a, not the same, but somewhat similar situation?
If things are said, know that sometimes they're not really meant, like they don't mean it. Also, for the teenagers out there, careful what you say, because sometimes it hurts, not only yourself, but in the long run, other people. But there, you know, for teenagers, there's hope for teenagers. A lot of people want to help the older kids anyway. I know that in the moment it seems like, I got this all figured out. You really don't. You really don't have it figured out. You need a family. You need parents to help you, guide you through things. You need someone to be there when you need help. Your friends are always going to be there, but no, they're not going to always be there. Your family's always going to be there. So even if they're not blood, they're still family.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point. So when teenagers say things, don't always take them seriously. They don't really mean it.
Yeah, they don't. A lot of things are just said out of the emotional aspect of it, not really thinking about the effect that's going to happen afterwards.
And probably frustration.
Yes, right? Definitely frustration. And also fear.
Frustration, fear, and control. Yeah, a lot of control issues too, right? All right.
That does come with the territory.
Yeah. Well, you got to – people are looking out for you. It's kind of hard to accept when people are caring for you. So if people are interested in getting involved in foster care or possibly looking towards adoption, how do they do that? Do they put an application in?
They can actually contact the Children's Network at 1-855-933-KIDS. Or they can go to our website, which is www.childnetswfl.org. There is an inquiry form they can submit online, but if they call that number, they'll be able to talk to someone regarding the process to get started, the pre-service training. They'll answer any questions they have on the home study process. So they can definitely reach out.
And if you happen to be in your car and you didn't have a pen ready to write all that down, we'll have all that available on our website. So that's all the time that we have today. I want to thank you all for coming in and sharing with us your stories, which are a little on the personal side, but I really do appreciate just sharing what you've gone through and what you're going through, and congratulations to you on your adoption coming up in February.
Thank you very much.
All right. So if you would like any more information about becoming an adoptive parent, or if you'd like to know more about how to support your local food pantries, which we talked about in the first half hour, you can see those links on our website at wgcu.org. Just click on Gulf Coast Live tab. And the conversation continues on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, use the hashtag GCL to tweet at WGCU. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida. Our show is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. The show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our production engineer is Richard Chinqui, and additional help from A.J. Leonard and John Davis. Next week on Gulf Coast Live, a milestone in Florida's panther population won't stop the endangered predator from butting heads with developers and area ranchers. We'll take a look at craft beer in Southwest Florida, from micro to homebrew. That's taken Southwest Florida by storm in the past decade. That'll be next Wednesday from 1 to 2. Thanks for listening and have a great Thanksgiving. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1 WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM NPR for Southwest Florida.